So what is happening here? My friend, Betsy Brantner-Smith, is a spokesperson for the National Police Association. It is always good to have her on. Betsy, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It's always great to be with you. I'm great. You know, I hate talking about crime and more crime and more crime, but we have an epidemic of carjackings around the country.
We do. What's driving that? Is it that they're not being prosecuted despite it being often a gun crime? Because a lot of times it does involve a gun.
Well, absolutely. A lack of prosecution is one of the factors. Carjacking is one of those crimes that there are a number of causes. And first and foremost is absolutely the shorthanded police departments around this country. So yeah, we can't be everywhere at once. So, you know, carjackers are able to go about their business and steal people's cars. And it's a, you know, let's face it, it's generally an armed robbery. We haven't really even been calling it carjacking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, except for the last maybe 5 years or so. But also there is the differences in technology, the way it affects the security of our cars, is another reason why we're seeing more carjackings and actually less auto theft. It's 25 years ago, almost any one of us could have stolen a car. It wasn't hard.
Right.
You needed a screwdriver and a couple other tools and you could do it. Now you've got to have some pretty sophisticated stuff. So what thieves now do is, you know, take a weapon and just yank open a car door of somebody who is parked or at a stoplight like you were when this homeless nut is doing things in Denver. and they just yank people out of the car and take the car.
Yeah.
And they also, when they do that, you know, they tend to get a wallet, a computer, you know, all kinds of other things, sometimes a firearm. And so it actually makes it a better crime for them. We're also seeing younger and younger offenders. And yeah, for example, in Milwaukee, a lot of the offenders have no criminal record. And part of that's because they're 12, 13, 14 years old. So there's really a lot to this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and it I guess it's easy pickings because people are just not situationally aware, Betsy. I mean, it's funny. I spend a lot of time around firearms and firearms instructors and stuff. And one of the top things people never think about, like, for instance, if they're concealed carry permit holders, is, you know, everybody thinks I'm going to go to the range and I'm going to set up my either isosceles or Weaver stance and it'll be perfect. And they think that that's what they need to practice, as if in an actual attack, that's going to be what they're going to have time to set up. But the reality is there's a much higher chance you're being attacked in a car. Your seatbelt is on. How do you get to your firearm to defend yourself? You know what I'm saying? It's like people don't, and people are paying so little attention that they have their cars unlocked while they're sitting in intersections, while we know that this crime is going on all around us. It's wild.
Well, you're absolutely correct. You know, as a police trainer, that's one of the things that we recognized 10, 15, 20 years ago, is that we were doing the same thing you're talking about. You know, you're standing at, you know, 15, 10, 15, 25 yards, standing there, no cover. We had to teach police officers to shoot out of a vehicle, to shoot sitting, to shoot laying down. And that's exactly what people, concealed carry permit holders and constitutional carriers, like here in Arizona where I live, you know, think about how are you going to get to your firearm if somebody does try to rob you of your vehicle,
right,
tries to yank you out of that car, tries to abduct you. Where are you carrying your firearm? This is why we caution people, don't put your firearm under the seat or mm-hmm. in your console or whatever.
Yeah.
Have it on you and have it accessible, because this is a crime that we are seeing so much on the rise. And again, not just in urban areas, but in suburban areas as well. And I, you know, Washington, D.C. is one of those cities that is having a carjacking palooza, if you will. And the chief of police there, you know, is like, gee, I don't understand why this is happening. We all know why this is happening, right? You know, when you, for 3 years now, we have been vilifying American law enforcement. We have been installing more and more woke prosecutors who mm-hmm. do not want to prosecute people for felonies. We have made our police departments so shorthanded. So instead of going on proactive patrol, most patrol cops are running emergency call to emergency call to emergency call.
Yeah.
And you know, people are just allowed to do what they want. But I think Americans are getting tired of it. Yeah. What do you think?
No, I agree. And I think hopefully that's going to lead to some sea change politically here in the very near future, because we do have to put our foot down at this nonsense. And that's what it's been. And it's turning our great American cities. I've been to California many times. I've never been to San Francisco, and I've always wanted to go because there's just something about that place. But I don't want to go right now. I don't want to go right now because it's an utter and complete despicable mess. And it's not what it was, so it won't be what I want it to be. You know what I mean? And it's, again, Denver's getting like that. You know, I mean, Denver is becoming a city that's very undesirable to live in. We just had a shooting. Someone shot at a pedestrian just yesterday at a mall in Lone Tree, you know, in Douglas County, which is a suburb of Denver. And you were talking about that. It's not just in the city proper. It's happening wherever criminals want to go and operate because they're being allowed to operate. And it's wild. Let me ask you this. Just to go back to how people can prepare, because it is a problem here in Colorado specifically. Denver is number one in auto theft in America, and a lot of those are carjackings. Mm-hmm. But we talked a little bit about if you're a firearm carrier, you know, if you're a concealed carrier, how you should go about it. But what are the basic things you could tell somebody listening right now, sitting in traffic, now given the side eye to both sides going, maybe I should think about this. What are the basic things that you would tell them do to try to make themselves less like a victim in this situation?
Turn down your music, mm-hmm. put down your phone, make sure your doors are locked and your windows are rolled up, because you don't want somebody to be able to get their fingers in there
right.
and pull on that window. And then pay attention to what is going on around you. And if you believe that you are being followed, it feels like you're being followed, go to a well-lit gas station, go to a nearby police station, and keep stuff discreet. You know, when you go home from the office, pop your trunk, put your briefcase, if you have a briefcase or your purse or whatever, put all that in your trunk. Don't right. have it all in your back seat. Same thing when you go shopping, put everything in your trunk. Be very discreet with your possessions and your electronics and all of that. But the number one thing is to be aware and pay attention to what is around you.
Are you concerned, Betsy Brentner-Smith, the spokesperson for National Police Association, are you concerned that America is degenerating into a third world nation?
I am extremely concerned about that. I have four adult kids and four grandkids, and this is something that we discuss quite frequently because they all live in different cities. Mm-hmm. And this is one of our fears, is that it's no longer, you know, good guys versus bad guys. We see law-abiding citizens like our kids, our family. They seem to have to pay more attention to the bad guys because the bad guys seem to be able to do anything they want
yeah.
without punishment. And that is what turns a nation into a third world country. You add to that the fact that, yes, our southern border is wide open. That means we don't have much sovereignty as a nation. And yes, that's what puts us right into third world status, chaos. And I believe that's what some on the political left really want.
Yeah, the chaos, because that creates a vacuum and the power comes in of the vacuum. I fully agree with that. Before I let you go, I know your organization, National Police Association, is involved in a lawsuit against, I guess, the city of Nashville. You're basically demanding that the manifesto of the Nashville shooter be released. I guarantee if the political leanings were a different direction, we would already have read every word of that manifesto. What's going on with that lawsuit, and what are the chances that it gets released and the people find out what was really behind all of this?
Well, it's proceeding quite well. We've engaged a law firm that is outstanding at this type of work. And what we've done, so people know, is that we filed a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information request, to get that the shooters, the National Shooters Manifesto, and we were denied. Mm-hmm. So we have filed a lawsuit, and we are asking that the entire manifesto be released without redactions other than are necessary to keep certain people's privacy. But I, you know, I believe that you're right. We would have seen this had this shooter been been wearing a Trump hat or, right. Been a white supremacist or whatever. And so, you know, I personally have a belief that it's so violent and so anti-Christian that there are some on the political left that don't want us Americans, see it. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, little devil's advocate here. If it's that bad, is it really worthwhile to release it? Do the people really need to see it if it's that bad?
We need to be able to prevent these types of shootings. Yeah. You know, we don't want to release this for any sort of salacious
right.
Type of reason. We want to be able to use this information and law enforcement to be able to use this information to prevent what happened. You know, we already know that this particular shooter chose this school partially because it had different security than the school she right. went to first.
Right.
There's also a religious persecution aspect to this that we cannot ignore. None of these cases should be politicized. We shouldn't even be talking about politics.
Yeah, fully agree. Betsy Brenners, it's always great to have you on the program. Thanks for your years of service in law enforcement and your tireless advocacy for law and order. We appreciate you so much, and we'll talk again soon.